Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on The Score.
Man, you know, they didn't really explain much to me about that. I wasn't really saying much. I just clapped, man. It was a huge play on third down, pumping up my guys. And that's just the type of thing, it's the energy that you playing with these guys. I don't want to be out there if I can't be happy for my guys, man, when they make big plays. That's what this game is about, man. So it's just adrenaline. It was costly, man, and that was something I just can't do, put our team in that third down, man. It's hard to get off the field, man. So, you know, I apologize to him, man, and obviously that's uncharacteristic of me. But, you know, that rule is kind of, you know, it's a fine line, right? Right now, you know, you don't know if you could be happy. You don't know if you can, you know. So, you know, I don't want to go into detail about it, man. But anytime my guys make a play, man, I'm gonna be the first one to congratulate them and be happy. And you know, it's adrenaline. So it was huge, costly. We was able to get off the field, man, and not give up any points or score or anything like that. So that was huge.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show afternoons on The Score.
That is Tayshawn Gibson, who drew a taunting penalty on Sunday because he clapped his hands over the head of a Cincinnati receiver. I forget whether it was Higgins or Boyd. I don't think it was Chase, but it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, because that player retired from football after being embarrassed like that on the field, being a victim of the taunting.
Yeah, right. That
we'll
guy,
never know.
So embarrassed. T. Higgins, I saw him after that play. He walked off the field weeping. Had to be consoled by several different equipment men. And at that point, a bunch of mothers were seen in the stands clutching their pearls. Genuinely, yeah. Clutching their pearls.
I was watching Korean television like I do every night. And
sure.
I saw a highlight of him hitting a home run in a Korean baseball league last night.
Flipping the bat, baby. I mean, there was a time where this past weekend, Tyrod Taylor got hurt and Davis Mills was in because the Texans are, they're a thing. Davis Mills is going to start this week for Houston. And a receiver named Jordan Akins caught a ball. You see what he did? He spun the football. You ever see that? Yeah, it's taunting.
Why is Mills starting?
Because Deshaun
Watson's got a massage appointment?
He's got one every week at game time. Which is awkward. I don't know why he'd schedule them then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. Poor David Culley. That is just the ugliest and worst coaching situation anyone's ever walked into.
That's me and Tanny's guy. We love David Culley.
Why? You just feel bad for him? Do you care about him?
He's so overwhelmed. He's saying, oh my God.
God. He's like, all right, folks, we need the guy who's most desperate to take an NFL head coaching job. Who can we find? Let's find David Culley.
This 60-year-old guy who's never had one. Give him a chance.
David, hi. I'm a season ticket holder, and I just want to know why you guys are going to be so good.
Well, congratulations on being a season ticket holder, and you're 8 years old.
Yeah, good for you. Oh, yeah, I think I mixed that up with Mahomes. I'm a Mahomie. I think I mixed that up. Can't mix those things up. But, all right, so Jordan Akins spun a football. You can't do that, okay? There's lots of other things that you can't do. If you break up a pass and you say something to somebody, that's probably taunting, okay? And the thing is, when Lamar Jackson does like a completely unnecessary flip into the end zone to celebrate, that's totally fine, as it should be. I mean, what are we doing here? It is ridiculous. I mean, before the whole idea of celebration and taunting and all of that, what you've done is you've put another judgment call in the hands of the NFL referees. And is anything worse in terms of penalties than a judgment call? Boy, you know, to me, it sure looked like that was whatever the hell you think it is. We've now become so desensitized to, was that holding? It is on this play, but not on that play. Was that defensive holding? Well, it was kind of a makeup for the other one. That we roll our eyes and let that stuff go. But now, like, what is taunting? What isn't taunting? Jason Peters, who you heard from last segment, talking about Fields and Dalton and Vic and Foles, had this to say when asked about a taunting penalty.
Do you know what the new taunting rule is? Do you have a sense of what is taunting and what isn't?
I have no idea. I just try to block my guy, and when you see a flag, you never know what's going on. I mean, they throw them so I'm not sure.
Have you ever had your feelings hurt by taunts? Do you know why they're trying to legislate this at all?
The one penalty when we scored, I want to say somebody intercepted the ball and scored. I want to say Smith. And when he ran it back, they got us with a taunting penalty then. I'm like, dude, this is football. You're going to let us – we put in all the hours of work. We practice all week, all the off-season conditioning, and we can't celebrate for 20 seconds? Come on now. So just a give or take, you know. I told him, he's like, yeah, man, that's what I want y'all to do, but they do, you know, I guess they're trying to emphasize it for us, like if you directing it towards the other team. But, you know, as long as you're celebrating with your teammates, they might not call it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So celebrating with your teammates, don't celebrate in the other direction. And I know, and Shane understandably brought this back to baseball in a conversation when it came up yesterday. But baseball is a different sport. And the players themselves within baseball are very much still split on what is taunting, what isn't taunting. And even the ones who love it and approve of it still have decided that a line should be drawn in doing it in the face of your opponent. When Amir Garrett yells in another team's dugout, that's bad. When Tim Anderson throws a bat towards another team's dugout, that's bad. Do it to your own team, to rev up your own team, no problem. Whereas that is kind of an odd line to be drawn. That's clearly what the players have decided is to be drawn. The players who are the focus of the National Football League every week and are the ones that people tune in for have decided long ago that taunting is cool. They're good with it. They're good with celebrating. They're good with taunting. Uh-oh, it might make me angry when I play football, where you're supposed to be angry. It's just incredibly stupid. So why did this happen? Some of the sound that we've heard from owners when they've deigned to talk about this, we kept. And this is from, week two of the preseason, maybe week three of the preseason. John Mara, the oldest sentient Mara of the Giants ownership group, was asked about the taunting rule and why it is in here in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we discuss every year in the competition committee. We get kind of sick and tired of the taunting that does go on from time to time on the field. We've tried to balance the sportsmanship with allowing the players to have fun, and there's always a fine line there. But none of us like to see that, and it's just a question of whether you can have rules that can be enforced and without taking the fun out of the game, too. But nobody wants to see a player taunting another player. I know I certainly don't, and I think the rest of the members of the competition committee feel the same way, too.
Yeah, the rest of the members of the competition committee. You know who's on the competition committee? 10 owners. 10 representatives from ownership. And then there's one vote for the NFL Players Association.
So a bunch of old whites?
100%. And there is one vote representing the NFL Players Association. They are given a seat at the table. In fact, they made a statement. Grab that for me, would you, Shane? The NFL Players Association released a statement, I think it was yesterday, saying essentially that they have a seat at the table, but they're only one of 11. So it's a token seat at the table. They're allowed to speak up and say something, and then the 10 owners can do whatever the hell they want. It's ridiculous. So this is 10 old, yes, mostly white, but still, without a doubt, non-playing entities who don't like what they're seeing from their precious sport that they're selling and are trying to clean it up and Disney-fy it somehow. It's embarrassing. And the players know it is embarrassing. So it's interesting because, look, Bill Belichick right now, in speaking on WEEI yesterday, is saying that he doesn't like taunting. He's saying that he doesn't like taunting, but he does like celebrating. He understands that celebrating is good, understands that celebrating is healthy for a team after they make a big play, and it's healthy for them, and it also might send a message to the other team. Do we know how long ago this tape was, Tanny, that we found from Belichick? Because it's interesting. Bill now is towing the NFL's line a little bit and saying that taunting is poor sportsmanship and leads to other things and retaliation and all of that. And I'm surprised to see him say it, because this thing that we found from Belichick, and it's from one of those things where it's like showing him in a film room with his team, breaking down the film and then talking about a celebration that he gets to see. He sees his team. Is it Jamie Sharper? I think it might be Jamie Sharper.
I believe Ty Law is referenced in this clip. So okay. You're talking about a clip with, it goes back a bit.
But Bill's still the guy, and he loves his team to play passionate and to celebrate when they make a play. And here he tells you why.
There's nothing wrong. In fact, you should be excited when you make a play. Hell, look at all the work you've put into it, all the time that you've spent and practice of put into it, and to go out there in a game competitively and execute it well and make a play, you should be excited about it. And your teammates should be excited too. And you see when we're playing with energy and when we're playing with emotion and when we're not. Nice play, Ty. Can't even see one guy saying, good hit. Walk back to the huddle and say, God, it looks like we don't even care. We aren't good enough to play that way. I don't know that anybody is. So, Gary, you know it's a good play. Just doesn't really register with anybody else. Just look at this right here. Do you think we were ready to play against Denver last year, Monday night? It's so obvious. It's so visible. And when you can show that picture visually to your opponent, that's what intimidation is. That's the look right there, fellas. It's going to be a long night.
That's what intimidation is. That's Belichick wanting his guys to play with energy, wanting them to celebrate, wanting them to show that they're unified, that they're excited, so he can now toe company line and try to set up this thought process he has now on taunting, that there is a line to be drawn. He says, I think that we should go out there, compete, and try to play good football and win the game on the field. I don't think it's about taunting and poor sportsmanship. That's not really my idea of what good football is. That is a changed tune now from Belichick as opposed to 15 years ago. And that is really lame from Bill. Because what you heard there is actually what he thinks, and that's what his players want to hear. That's what NFL players want to hear. They want to know that you want to see them aggressive and excited. Texters are saying there's a difference between celebrating and taunting. Celebrating, hell yeah. No place in the game for taunting. Okay, so where are you drawing that line? Really? Really? You're deciding to draw this line? So this is what we have. This is what we have then. This is what we're going to have. Is we're going to have a point of emphasis made. We're going to have a bunch of calls that are way too over the top. And that's all going to happen early, and everybody's going to say, you know, it is a point of emphasis. It is what the rule is. And it's just how silly it is where they are drawing the line. And then it's going to settle back to a more common and more understood place. And that's going to happen after a few weeks. This is the best way we have to do this? I think it's ridiculous. The players don't care. They don't care. And you're deciding that it's bad. You're deciding that it's bad because you don't like to see it. You stand over an opponent and you clap. That's taunting. But you wag your finger at a receiver when he doesn't make the catch. If you're a defensive back, is that taunting? Is that on the points of emphasis? I don't believe so.
Hey, man, how about just letting the grown adults make decisions for themselves? And as long as it doesn't start a fight, just chill the hell out.
Letting them police their own activities on the field.
Exactly.
The NBA is full of taunting and trash talk and has been for a long, long time. Do those guys fight? Very, 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 very rarely. I watched the Malice in the Palace documentary, a great watch, a fascinating watch. That whole thing was largely inflamed by the fans that that got in there. And yes, the Indiana Pacers were a volatile bunch, but if the fan never throws the beer at Ron Artest, then that whole thing probably never happens. But man, the players have decided what they think is okay and what is not. And the owners are now trying to decide for them. And it's ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. So they've decided celebration is good, so it is good. And if these guys are going to get in each other's face and bark, okay. And that's going to make them angry on the next play, fine. They're playing angry. It's a game of controlled rage. So if you successfully get a guy off of his game because you have successfully taunted him and he's gotten too emotional and then he comes at you to try and block you and you use his aggressiveness to your advantage and sneak around him and make a play, well done. Well done. Because this game is about controlling your rage. It's about playing with that well-directed intensity. I just think it's super lame and it's super gray and it's stupid. And it is the re-entry of a subjective call, which is just going to distract all of us. It's going to distract all of us from the whole damn thing. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. That's also how you text. The Tech Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Lots to get into here on 670 The Score. I want to talk to you about the most impressive non-bear I saw in the NFL on Sunday. The most impressive non-bear I saw in the NFL. I got a couple options, and I think I know which one it is. We'll do that next on The Score.
The NFL Players Association, coaches, and competition committee have all made a strong statement regarding respect among everyone on the field. We saw an increase in actions that clearly are not within the spirit and intent of this rule and not representative of the respect due opponents and others on the field. Game officials have been instructed to strictly enforce the taunting rules, and players and coaches are reminded that two taunting penalties committed by an individual player will result in automatic disqualification. In addition, the taunting player may be fined and/or suspended, depending on the severity of the actions.
Shut up.
Man, there's a lot of people caping up for the NFL on this, on the text lines, and I'm finding it's surprising. It's Spieg solo here on Parkins and Spiegel. A lot of stuff going on. Players don't sell tickets or buy tickets. You want face-to-face trash talk after every play, every first down, after every tackle? Man, your hot take on this is a rough one. It's a perception issue. Players don't care. Isn't it even an argument? Come on, usually better than this. What world are you living in that was like a massive problem in this way last year? Texter, I think what you're describing will lead to fights and penalties. I speak of letting them taunt and stand over and point and smack talk with no limit. That will lead to a lot of pushing to get off my guy reaction or get out of my face reactions. That's asking for dumb personal foul penalties.
How often does that happen, though?
How long? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. What world are you living in where this was a massive problem last year?
No, it's stupid.
What world are you living in where this is a massive problem over the last decade?
It's never been a massive problem.
Even the guys, you know, on the competition committee. And by the way, I should mention, Shane, and when you said a lot of old whites, I did not know the full composition, thank you, of the competition committee. Chris Greer of Miami is African-American. Ozzie Newsom is on the competition committee. Mike Tomlin is. Ron Rivera. There's also a woman, Katie Blackburn, from Cincinnati. So it's not as homogenous as some had thought.
Happy to be wrong.
There you go.
You understand right? The trend there.
Of course. And you're talking, and we played John Mara, who's from an ownership group, and those are largely, of course, old whites. But the competition committee itself is much more diverse than realized. So I will absolutely grant that, and thank you for those that have pointed it out. Ron Rivera, though, in responding to this today, said, look, we've had this example where one guy taunts a guy, then a guy comes back for a little payback. Next thing you know, you've got a big fight on your hands. We're trying to prevent a brawl, says Ron Rivera. So he's talking about it as, yes, celebration versus taunting. And some people pointing out that Belichick was talking about celebrating, and now he's talking about taunting. So now they're drawing the line, and here's Rivera saying, I'm all for the celebrations. We were the 2015 team that everybody's mad at because we were dabbing and stuff like that, taking pictures on the sideline. You want guys to keep their personality, want them to be who they are, but the intent is so that somebody doesn't do something, they get somebody to come back with retribution. You don't want that. You don't want somebody out for revenge. That's what we're trying to prevent. Ron Rivera, you are referencing a world that hasn't existed in the NFL in a long time. Jack Tatum is not coming through this door. These guys are used to controlling themselves after this. It's the job. And you know what? Fans enjoy this stuff, have enjoyed the interpersonal reaction of this stuff. If it does turn into a tussle, people tend to like that, frankly. And if it doesn't turn into a tussle and it just says, oh, there's bad blood, people love the bad blood that is controlled and taken out on a football game. It's a violent game where you have controlled emotion. We like seeing who's best at controlling the emotion. These people are referencing trying to make sure a league doesn't break out. That doesn't exist and hasn't existed for a while. When's the last time there was a brawl in the NFL? Seriously. Guys know that if you draw a penalty, if you're the one who gets called for the penalty, whether you started it or not, you're the one who's going to get fined during film sessions. You're the one that's going to get ripped by your own teammates. So this idea that they're trying to keep something from happening that doesn't happen is ridiculous. Another texter. I don't want to be misunderstood, but I feel like a lot of people reacting maybe haven't played competitive sports. I have, and when I would be competitively furious at my opponent talking smack. When I had a good play, then I would bark back. In the end, we shook hands, or we didn't. Never once did we need the teacher to put somebody in timeout. That's what I'm talking about here. That's absolutely what I'm talking about. Let's go to Rob in Elgin on 670 The Score. Rob, you're on the Parkins and Spiegel Show with me, Speak Solo. Hello, Rob.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing this afternoon?
We're all good. Thank you.
All right. So, again, I have children, and I know that when Gibson did that play, I immediately talked to my two sons who are 10 and 6. And was like, listen, boys, that's unacceptable. You can't get in the face of an opponent and clap like that and be disrespectful, especially when you didn't even do anything to make the play. He had no involvement in that play. That was the DB. I'm not sure who made that play, but not him. And to go off the competitiveness and the barking, that's totally different than clapping in someone's face and getting in someone's face and being physical about it. Talking is totally different.
Okay. I hear you. And if that's where you want to draw the line as a parent, that's great. That's your job to do it. And that is your opportunity to do it. And I'm glad you did it.
I am willing to bet my entire paycheck that Rob did, in fact, not stop the Bears game to tell his sons that Tayshaun Gibson was being inappropriate.
Oh, he might have.
Come on, dude.
He might have. He's watching with his kids.
Come on.
It's possible.
If Ruben was a big football fan, put yourself in that shoes.
There's an opportunity for a learning lesson, sure, in using your skill talent.
Maybe this is why I don't have children,
well,
or maybe I don't know the situation because I don't have children. It's not the reason I don't have children.
Ding, there you
go. But also, I think my parenting skills are probably pretty good.
Ding. No, look, I mean, and there's things that I think are over the line on sportsmanship issues. I don't like, for instance, when a game is over and dudes bail and don't shake hands. When Russell Westbrook did that a couple years ago, all pissed and bummed and walked off. And obviously, famously, the Pistons against the Bulls. I think that's Bush. The game is over. Shake hands. These guys in the NFL, they will taunt each other. Most guys in the NBA, they'll taunt each other and trash talk each other like crazy. And then they will shake hands and usually pray together on the field and just deal with it because that's just part of the game. That's the way that they go about it. And it helps to get them up. You have to have like a maniacal edge to you to play best, especially as a defensive player in the NFL, like that crackling explosive energy. And whatever you got to do to get there, you got to do. So, look, I appreciate that you use that, Rob, and others have used that as a parenting moment, but I do not agree that it's the NFL's job to parent your children in that way, to show you the way to do that. But look, I'm listening. I hear you. I hear all you people. I read your text telling me about the difference between celebrating and taunting. I think you are trying to legislate something out of the game that has not existed for a while. There's been a lot of very successful, non-violent ends of football games and ends of plays, and where it hasn't led to violent altercation based on the fact that there was taunting. Okay? And now people going after the caller. Way to go, Shane.
Dude who just called in is Charmin soft. Guy who just called in is such a loser. His kids will be soft.
Oh, man. See, now, all right, can we be nicer? Can we be nicer to each other? Is it possible?
We could be.
All right, yeah, we could.
It is the wussification of America, though.
Texter says,
do people listen to the score? Like, hey, let's hear some people being nice to each other.
Yeah.
I turn on Parkinson Spiegel That's because right. They're nice.
I want to run out to the parking lot and see a couple of guys get along. That's what I want to do.
Hey, random guy in the street. Hey, here's $20. I feel inspired.
Look at those guys. Look at those guys over there. They're having a very healthy conversation and exchange. I actually do like that.
Tell me something horrendous in your life.
Oh, man. I think it's very, very silly of the NFL, and they've created more subjective penalties that are going to get it's going to bog us down during the course of a game. Another texter said, all penalties are subjective. No, they're not. Delay of game is not subjective. What else? Offsides, not subjective. False start, also not subjective. Shake hands after you're done with the game. High five after you have included your smack talk. And then I think everything will be fine. All right. What should we do here? Should I do some of the baseball things I was dying to do right here? I'll stick with what I sold.
Hey, man, we got Joe-O.
That's true. I'm glad we talk out loud.
I like that option.
About this stuff. I'm glad we talk out loud about this stuff. This is why we bond about things.
That's why we have the pre-show meeting.
Yeah,
the
man.
Text thread.
That's why we write stuff down on a big board. And everybody like that. Texture says, this conversation is really just spurring more taunting between the callers and the listeners and you guys, and I'm all for it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. We will talk to Joe Ostrowski in a matter of moments on the score. This bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Duck, Duck, Go. Keep it right here on the score.
Joseph, come on!
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Joe Ostrowski.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
That being said, I hate Joe Ostrowski.
So, Ostrowski?
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Joe Ostrowski with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
This segment with Joe-O is brought to you by PointsBet, and Joe joins us right now on 670 The Score. Joe!
Speaks football season, but I got some baseball stuff too. Oh, getting to get to it.
Well, good. I do want to get to that. I am curious about all sorts of things like that. Tell me first, though, what are the trends showing you? Anything through week two? Anything, or the book's still brilliant and we're all just idiots trying desperately to hold on for dear life?
Yes and yes. Okay. We've got some trends and they are crushing it right now because underdogs are covering a lot. So last night, that game went over the total, Packers and Lions. So this season, small sample size, primetime overs are 6-0. Every primetime game has gone over the total.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting because that's what I root for to want to watch anyway, so that feels fun in that regard.
It's still strange to me because every week I look at it, it's another week like this. We have five games with totals in the 50s, mid-50s around there, mm-hmm. and most of them end up going over. That's what happened last week. Underdogs, we talked about the road teams with some success early in the season last week, and it happened again. Road underdogs, 6-3 against the spread. Underdogs through 2 weeks overall against the spread. Mm. They are 21-11 But people keep betting on the favorites. A couple more that you'll find interesting. Chiefs, great team. Can't cover the spread. And people can't stop betting on them.
Hmm.
Last 13 games, they are 2-11 against the spread. Even if they get a field goal late in that game on Sunday night, they weren't going to cover the spread. And Teddy Bridgewater, he has 26 career starts on the road, and he's 23-3 against the spread.
Wow, man. Wow, that's interesting. Because, you know, when you know Teddy Bridgewater is your quarterback, you're probably designing a game plan a certain way and have probably built your defense in a certain way. This Broncos thing is for real, man. That defense is serious. They held Trevor Lawrence to, what, 118 yards passing the other day? So I wonder if I look at that and I think, well, Teddy's on teams like that, so maybe he's bound to cover the spread if they're doing it right.
I don't know what team in that division is going to start losing, though, because you also have the Raiders at 2-0, and of course, the Chiefs and the Chargers, they're playing this weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know why Vic Fangio did that in the offseason. We knew you weren't going with Drew Lock. You want the guy that's going to bring some stability to the position, and they brought in Teddy Bridgewater to be that guy. So they're looking good early in the season. They are 11-point favorites this weekend against the Jets.
Wow. Well, the Jets just showed you some terrible stuff. But talking to Joe Ostrowski here on the Score, it's interesting. That Chiefs thing, they have so much money spent on that offense, they can't possibly have the kind of complete defense they need to have. They're going to be in shootouts all year long, aren't they? So does a sharp take that into account and just play overs in Kansas City every single game?
Yeah, I mean, they'll just keep increasing the number, but I don't see it stopping. They can't stop the run. They're dead last in the NFL, rush defense, DVOA. So every week's going to be a shootout, spending money on offense. You're right. And they continue to do that in the offseason. We know how the Super Bowl went with that Bucs pressure. So what did they do? They revamped the entire offensive line. They drafted guys. They signed guys. They made trades.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fascinating to watch. Early on, I mean, it's small sample, but it is when the Chiefs usually dominate. That was Mahomes' first loss in September in his career the other night. So how's that going to go moving forward? I think most people are looking at it and saying, you know what? You can get the Chiefs. There's some really good teams in this AFC, including the team the Bears are going to play Sunday.
All right, so Joe, frankly, I'm still looking for an NFL bet that I love to make on just a given game. For instance, I really fell in love with first basket props in the NBA. Yes. I did, man. I totally fell in love because they were scoutable. And I did really well on him because usually if there was a big man who was like the second or third option, they'd often want to establish that guy like Bill Cartwright in the Jordan days. You know what I mean? Like, and it made sense to me and I found some success and I enjoyed it and it paid off quickly. So the obvious comp would be first touchdown in an NFL game, but that's really, really random. Mm-hmm. You know, can you give me something else that I might be able to, that I should think about that's just a really fun, you know, particular player sort of prop in an NFL game? What do you like to play?
People love that immediate gratification right now.
Yeah.
Hockey, what's become really popular the last few years is first period totals. Just so you're done. You watch the game and I'm good. I don't need to stay up and watch the entire thing. I don't need to sweat it.
Especially if it's an island game and maybe you're having a drink or two and you don't want to focus and give yourself 3 hours of consciousness that you have to be a part of, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. That first touchdown, it is random, but that's why you get some juicy odds. Over the last few years, a lot of times in those island games that you referenced, a quarterback has rushed it in to start. And usually, depending on how mobile the quarterback is, unless his name is Lamar Jackson, you're going to find odds like 20, 30, or 40-1. So there are some people that just bet on the quarterback every single game, and they know they're going to hit it a couple times, and that more than pays for the season. But that's the one that you do right away. I find the first quarter bets, I know there are some people that look at trends like that, I think it's completely random.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, last night, the Lions, I believe they won the first quarter. I mean,
right.
They end up getting demolished in the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, so maybe the thing is to do a first touchdown prop and do one for each team, like I was doing for first basket props for the NBA guys, and just know, like, all right, they're driving. I've got some juice here.
The value is usually on the backup running backs, maybe in a goal line situation, tight ends, or a quarterback rushing it in.
Yes. Yes. And that is often the way I go. All right. What do you got? Give me some baseball. I'm interested. By the way, the White Sox game is final. They've lost 5-3. They cannot clinch the American League Central today or tonight while at the hotel room. It's conceivably still in play tomorrow, depending on what Cleveland does later.
Okay, so the four awards, MVP and Cy Young. I find it fascinating that we have such little baseball left and one has been decided. And some people believe that zero of them should be decided, which it's become quite the argument in the betting world over the last couple of weeks.
Hmm.
There are some people now saying it should not be Ohtani 100%. Look at what Vlad Jr. is doing. And the betting markets have reflected that. There's been more money coming in on Vlad Jr. over the last few weeks. And the Ohtani number, he's still a huge favorite. He's going to win the award.
Yes.
I mean, just pay attention. Follow John Heyman. Follow Ken Rosenthal on Twitter. They're tweeting it, that he's going to win the award.
Right.
It's over. It's been over. He has an 8.0 BWAR, and he has 44 home runs. I mean, what are we supposed to do with this? However, the people on the other side are saying, hold up. Vlad Jr., he's leading the American League at hitting with 320. He has 46 home runs.
Mm.
He has 119 runs, 105 RBI. And if you look at Ohtani's hitting since August, last 45 games, he's hitting 200.
Wow.
So their take is, a lot of people said this is over. I don't think it should be over. The betting markets are saying, yes, it is over, but it's the only of the four awards that are a wrap. AL Cy Young. Robbie Ray had an opportunity to almost lock it up last night, and he was pulled after 4 2/3. Gave up a few runs, but not as bad as Cole on Sunday.
Oof.
Gave up 7 runs on 10 hits against Cleveland. Robbie Ray is your -200 favorite at PointsBet right now.
Wow.
Cole is +175. Spiegs, I am lucky enough to be holding a Robbie Ray 100-1 ticket I got at the All-Star break.
No way! At the break?
Yes.
Do you play everything so you end up with tickets like that and don't tell us about the ones you don't have?
No, I don't. People accuse me of that all the time when I had Jokic during the NBA.
Right.
But no, I mean, there's stuff I miss out on.
Sure.
Scherzer is the Cy Young favorite right now in the National
League. And he's going to win it, and he should win it.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I mean, Burns, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But his numbers are ridiculous.
I know, but I still think even though Woodruff has trailed off, I think he's going to take votes as a teammate.
So Scherzer's -223.
Mm.
Never dawned on me. When he was traded, he was 100-1.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. A lot of times in the middle of the season, if you go down the war, we know the metrics that a lot of the voters take a look at the end of the season. You can find some value. And for me, Ray got hot at the right time. Hopefully he'll be able to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And we assume that Tatis was going to be the National League MVP for so long.
It's Bryce Harper, man.
It is 100% Bryce Harper. -135 right now. He's the favorite. Tatis is +120. The numbers are neck and neck. We're talking slugging, 620. Versus 618,
mm-hmm.
But Harper's OPS, 1,047, and Tatis with 52 fewer plate appearances,
yeah.
So it looks like Harper's going to get it.
Yeah, but recency bias, man. Bryce Harper's OPS over the last 30 days is 1.533.
Yeah.
It's just outrageous. By the way, anybody know who's second in that in all of MLB? Chris Tannehill, who's second in OPS behind Bryce Harper over the last 30 days.
Is it Cesar Rodriguez?
It is not.
Is he Yasmani Grandal?
It is Yasmani Grandal.
He's
wow. Number two over the last 30 days. Then it's Brandon Belt. Juan Soto is making a late push of sorts. Ian Happ is still up there. And, oh, by the way, Javier Baez at a 1.115. He's a crazy story there in New York. But yeah, no, that's interesting of those four awards. Just for my curiosity, could I have bet the Padres to miss the playoffs 2 months
yep.
ago? Does that kind of bet exist, Joe?
Yep. Those were available. I saw them everywhere during the All-Star break. And I looked at their second half schedule. I was like, this is going to be tough.
Man.
And we're seeing it. I mean, is just removing the manager enough? We know the value. It's not a big deal. It's not that impactful. But all that talent that they have.
Yeah, no, they fired.
What is wrong?
AJ Preller fired the farm director today, who's been there since 2014. That'll fix him. There is a leadership void that's going on there. So that's the thing. All right, Joe, tell people where they can hear you, man.
Early odds on the score, Saturdays, 8 to 9 a.m. Have BetQL Daily, 8 to 11 a.m. weekdays, 105.9 FM, HD2, Odyssey app, Twitch, all that stuff.
Joe, I'm holding a ticket for Dodgers-White Sox in the World Series. Bought that at the beginning of the year for a Dodgers-White Sox World Series. The White Sox part of it is scaring me greatly at this point.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah,
you're good. So. Uh-huh. I actually prefer the Sox path, starting with Houston, because I want nothing to do with Toronto right now. Nothing to do with that lineup. So I'd rather go through Houston first and see what happens.
And then you get either Toronto or the Rays, probably, depending on how it goes.
What were those odds? Pretty good.
I'll check them. I'll check them at the break, and I'll hit you back. But thank you, Joe. Appreciate you.
By the way, Justin Fields, the second favorite for offensive rookie of the year without a start.
It's amazing. I saw he was up there. That's taking advantage of the Chicago better, right?
A little bit, but also outside of Mac Jones, these other quarterbacks haven't won a game. They've done nothing.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson's been terrible.
Yeah. So I guess it is wide open. I wonder who's going to win that. So who's the favorite? Jamar Chase? Right.
Mac Jones. Mac Jones is plus 190 over at PointsBet. He's the favorite. I don't think he has to be great. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to go to one of those quarterbacks.
I've got one of those. I've got one of those tickets. Listen to me talking like a gambler. What the hell happened to me, Joe?
It's fun.
I blame you. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. That's Joe Ostrowski. Hear him all over the Score and, of course, the BetQL Network. Hub Arkish is going to join us next. Also next hour, Joe Shanahan, the owner, proprietor of Cabaret Metro, to talk about the secret rock shows that giant bands have played in this town. Most recently, Metallica, last night at the Metro. But Hub is next, right here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.